You know, we've all had those waiters or servers that have brought us our meals that just weren't that great, right? Always forget to come back and fill up your drink and forget to bring the things that you ask for. It's always frustrating to me when I'm having dinner with my wife and my wife asks the waiter to bring them something and she just sits and waits and waits and waits. It's like they forget. But then there's those others that are so in tune to the needs of their guests. Always watching, always looking for opportunities to refill a drink or to ask if there's anything else that we need. And so those are the kind of servers and servants that we should be for Jesus. To be looking and watching for opportunities to meet needs before we're even asked. I mean, great waiters and servers are those that come to you with something before you even ask. And there it is. And that's how we should be in our walk with the Lord, that we're watching and being mindful of the needs of the body of Christ, but also ways that we can minister to a lost world. And that's always been the Apostle Paul's heart, is to minister to the lost, to minister certainly called to the Gentiles, those outside the Hebrew faith, bringing them to Christ. But he also always had a heart for his Jewish brethren. And that kind of heart God used in a powerful way. And as he's ministering to those in Corinth who were a little bit off, who were kind of divided even in the church, he still had a heart to correct them. He didn't give up on them. He always was looking for ways to help them, to assist them, to come alongside them, to live his life in such a way that it was an example to the church. Guys, we have great opportunities in our lives to be godly examples to our unbelieving neighbors, to our unbelieving coworkers, those that we do life with even, and even strangers. We always have an opportunity to show someone grace and show someone the love of God. We can get so tunnel visioned in the things that we have to get done and we have to get accomplished. But I encourage you, let God use you. Be friendly to those who serve you. Be kind to those who check you out at the grocery store. They are living life, a difficult life, just like we are. So look for those opportunities. People with a servant's heart are always looking for ways to serve before they're even asked. It says, isn't it nice when the Lord reveals something to you? Isn't it nice when the Lord puts something on your heart that someone doesn't have to come alongside and say, hey, can you do this? Because that's a sense of obligation. Oh, I'm going to do that for that person. Rather than the Lord showing us and revealing us the ways that we can serve other people and love on other people. Do you need love? Do you need love in your life? Do you need to be encouraged from time to time? Well, so is your unbelieving neighbor. So is that unbelieving person in your life. Maybe an unbelieving family member that just needs to know because you're a Christian, you have the hope of heaven and hope of eternal life. When we consider ourselves and how we spend our time, we can often be very self-centered. Like, my time off, or I deserve this because I worked hard this week. We got to fight that desire to fight the flesh if we're going to effectively serve others. It was Andrew Murray who says this: before you can know how to please your neighbor, self-denial must first exercise itself in your own personal life. That's what Jesus said, right? Deny yourself, pick up my cross, pick up your cross and follow me. Has to start with denying self. And boy, oh boy, self does not like to be denied, does it? We like to get what we want. We like to be catered to. We like to be pampered in this life. Oh, I look forward to the day that we're with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and all these struggles are gone, all this flesh is removed, and all we do is worship the Lord and honor God. No more sin, no more pain, no more struggle. But I believe eternity started the day you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can live eternity today. It's not going to be just like heaven, but it can certainly be close. if we're looking for those opportunities. Jesus practiced these disciplines in his life. He would fast, he would pray, he would get alone with the Lord God, praying to him, getting up early and spending that time with the Lord, because that is what equipped him for his ministry on earth. That is what prepared him for the woman at the well. That is what prepared him for his disciples in a boat on the in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. He had spent time with God. And when we spend time with the Lord, he speaks into our hearts, he equips us and prepares us for the day ahead. I encourage us all to spend that critical time with God, hearing from the Lord. Not just a thing that we do as Christians, not just checking off our devotional or checking off our Bible reading and just moving on as if, okay, now God's happy I did that, but to truly just sit before the Lord, to be still before God and be reminded he's in control of our lives. That's the way we must live. If we can gain the right focus for God, we will serve others and serve others well. So look with me in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 19. We read, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." So give me your attention here. I've entitled today's message, "Free to be a Servant." It was kind of an oxymoron. Free in the sense that we put ourselves under subjection to Christ. Free in the sense that we've made ourselves, as Paul says, slaves to God, chained to the Lord Jesus Christ, chained to the gospel, chained to the word of God. As believers, we have many freedoms, do we not? And we can exercise those freedoms. But the Apostle Paul looked at his freedoms in Christ and said, "I am willing to set those aside for the benefit of another," to truly live his life as an example to win others to Christ. And we'll see it many times. He says it over and over and over again. Look in verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." Verse 20, "And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." Paul basically starts out by saying, listen, I am not under any man's authority. I'm under the authority of God. And I have made myself, Paul says in verse 19, I've made myself a servant to the world. Certainly a servant to God and certainly to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul looked out at his world and he says, there's people out there that need to know Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in your life that you know needs to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? I see nodding heads. There's always people around us that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but in Tennessee, they're giving out new license plates. And you have an option when you get the new license plate. Anybody know the option? In add to "In God We Trust." Maybe it's because I'm a pastor, but I look at everybody with the license plates that don't have "With God in Trust." And we're taking pictures of your cars right now. Not get out. Let's have a talk. Here's the thing. I look at, when I'm driving, I look, oh, they have "In God We Trust." Praise God. No, they do not have "In God We Trust." My mind goes to, are they offended by that? Did they overlook that? Did their spouse get their plate for them? I mean, what? I this is going to be crazy. So I ordered my plate for my wife. I'm like, I'm putting it on her car. "In God We Trust." Why? Because we trust in the Lord, guys. It's such a small, such a subtle thing. And again, it probably means nothing to most people that are driving around Tennessee. But to me, it matters. Even if people don't notice it. If anyone notices and goes, wow, that person believes in Christ, it helps me be accountable in my speed, how I change lanes, how I honk at people. It's a good thing, right? That's why I also have a Calvary Dove on my car as well. I want to be accountable to the Lord. I want to make sure that I'm being a witness to people around us. And if the Apostle Paul looked out at the world and said, I want to save as many people as I can in my life, I wonder how many of us in this room want that same desire. Boy, we want God to take us home. Would you love it if today was the rapture? God, let's get out of here. Let's go be with you in heaven. Yes, yes, yes. But until that day comes, we have opportunities to help people come to the Lord. I love the opportunities that God gives me to encourage believers to be godly in their actions, in their relationships. Just the other day, I encouraged a brother in our church. I said, you need to let the girl in your life know that you love her, know that you care for her. Because when we know each other, love and care for each other, it puts our hearts at ease. The questions that we might doubt or misinterpret actions and reactions in life, when we're constantly communicating, I care about you, I love you, it's important. I encourage the couples in this room this morning. Encourage your spouse. That should be the number one person you encourage in your life. And we all want to be encouraged, but that's who we are as believers. And as we live our lives encouraging, blessing people, watching for people, I think people will look to us and say, you've got something that I don't have. And they're going to want that. They're going to desire that. Hopefully we draw people towards God, questioning God. Maybe there were people that had bad experiences with the Lord, and we get to help correct that. Are we perfect? No. But we sure have an opportunity to let our light shine in this world. Whose life in your life are they watching you and going, they're a believer? How are they living? How are they acting? Are they acting godly? Or are they questioning your faith? We have opportunities, my friends. We have opportunities in this world. So my wife and I came back last week, and Pastor RJ filled in because my wife and I were in Geneva, Switzerland. Highly recommend it. Very beautiful place. And we went to it for a wedding, and we got to meet some of the people, the local people that were connected to the family. And we were sitting next to this one woman who was a friend, and they call her Auntie Angie. And we were chatting, and she told this story that her brother witnessed someone getting mugged and stepped in to stop the mugging. And in the act of doing that, the guy that was attacking actually shot him. I think he shot him in his hip. And so when the brother went to the hospital, obviously he got shot, got the bullet and all that out. The sister obviously goes to the hospital. And she's talking with her brother after he's woken up and everything. And she's like, oh, I'm so mad. Who are those people? I want to go get them and I'm going to take care of them. Who were they? And she said her brother looked at her and said, why would you do that? Something is going on in that person's life that's causing them to do this. And shouldn't we be more concerned of what's going on in their life? And she looked at us and said, boy, did that convict my heart. That this man who got shot because he was doing something good looked at the situation and said, instead of getting bitter, I'm looking at it as an opportunity to show compassion. She goes, it changed my heart instantly towards the people that hurt my brother. And that's what believers do. They look at situations differently than the world does. They don't look at the situation as, here's an opportunity for me to get revenge. Here's an opportunity for me to get back at someone. No, here's an opportunity for me to show God to them. That's the heart of the Apostle Paul. He wanted to win people for Christ. And he was willing to be a Jew to the Jews, a Gentile to the Gentiles, as those under the law, which were being obedient to the law, thinking that the law was all they needed. He's like, I was going to live that way as well. And as those without the law, I was going to live that way too. Listen, without sinning. Grace, the grace of God is available to all of us who fall and stumble. Amen? And very thankful for it. But do we take advantage of it? Do we abuse that grace? I'm thankful that the grace is there when I mess up and make a mistake. But I shouldn't be taking advantage of that. So Paul is like, I'm willing to be whatever helps me make a connection to lead them to Christ as long as it doesn't cause me to sin. And so we have to be very careful with the grace of God that has been given to us, that we live in such a way that is attractive to people. I believe there's Christians out there that live in such a way that they take the grace of God, and they take advantage of it. And it's like, you're not living a good testimony. That's what God wants us to do, is live a good testimony. He says he wants to win. We see that five times in these verses. And then that last one in verse 22, where he says, by all means I might save some. It's the same word. He wants to lead them to Christ. He wants to win them over for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's willing to subject himself to their culture, to open that door, right? The Apostle Paul was so good at looking at the situation, evaluating a way that he can speak to them in such a way that he can bring up Christ. I think it was, remember when he was in Ephesus? And they said, I see that you're very religious people. You even have a God that you think, the unknown God. Paul used that as an opportunity to witness Christ. This God you don't know knows you. And Paul saw that as an opportunity. Guys, you don't know how God might use you if you just make yourself available for how the Lord wants to use you. Acts 21 says that Paul participated in Jewish purification processes so that he could connect with those and lead them to Christ. Acts 16, he had Timothy, whose father was a Greek, had him circumcised so that it wouldn't be an offense to the Jews. Now, did Paul believe in circumcision? No. But he thought, why cause if hindrance in someone's life to keep them and make them ineffective in ministry? I think sometimes us exercising our grace can hinder the furtherance of the gospel, can hinder our testimony and our witness to others, because I believe sometimes we're abusing that grace. We should try to reach people where they are today and trust God with the outcome later. Yes, wouldn't we love to minister to people and then all of a sudden fall on their knees and accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But our job is to plant seeds. Our job is to water and to encourage people in their walks with God. And the only way you can encourage another person is if you are encouraged yourself. And is God encouraging you in your life, in your walk with him? Is he using you in amazing ways? See, I think we all have an opportunity every single day to show the love of God, because he shows it to us every moment. You know, when I look at this, the heart of the Apostle Paul is that he wants to live his life in such a way that he's going to win the lost no matter what. Have you ever known someone that has that kind of heart? Have you ever known someone that feels that conviction about everyone they meet, they want to know, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember this girl many years ago, we met on the mission field, and it was her desire that every single day she would at least lead one person to the Lord. Wow. She was so on fire for God, and she had obviously that gift of evangelism, and man, she could minister to people like nobody I've ever met. Because her heart was always about the other person. Not what necessarily God was doing in them or how God was using her, but no, I want this person to know the Lord Jesus. And as I witnessed her minister to people, it was almost like, how could they not accept? She was so on fire for the Lord. Guys, we gotta get on fire for God if we wanna see him use us in our lives. And that's what he was doing through the Apostle Paul. When I first got saved, I think it was within 6 months, my wife and I ended up going to a Bible study. Later on found out it was a group from the Church of Christ. because the Apostle Paul was so concerned about adjusting his behavior so that he could have that connection. And at this Bible study, it was kind of a little weird at first. I mean, if I said something like, hey, I like to ride my bike on the beach. You like to ride your bike on it? We love to ride our bikes on the beach. It was like everything I said, man, they were all for it. Oh, a little too much, if you ask me. I mean, literally. Yeah, I like to play Frisbee. You like to play Frisbee? Wow, we love to play Frisbee. I'm like, what in this with these people? Their desire, after only going to two Bible studies, and again, I was just saved in the Lord. You know, and I didn't know a thing necessarily other than I just wanted God in my life. And on that second Bible study, they said to me in a private room, they said, if you're not leading someone to Christ every single day, then you're losing your salvation. And I don't know. Now I was like, that's ridiculous. And while they're telling me this, because I'm trying to figure out what the heck this thing is about walking with the Lord, what I discovered is all they cared about is me getting in their religion, them winning me over to their type of God, instead of a heart for me to live for Christ. And to me, that's the absolute difference. If your heart is to minister to someone so that they can be free in Christ, I believe God will use you in an amazing way. So we want to find those connections, but don't manipulate the connection. You know, identify with someone in similarities. Don't be a freak. You know, if you like to ride a bike, say, hey, I like to ride my bike too. That's great. But find an opportunity. That always is the number one step in all evangelism training, is connect with someone. Connect with, how can you connect with that person in your life that God wants to lead you to? The second thing, verse 24, Paul says, as he gives an illustration, he says in verse 24, do you not know? And I love when the Bible says that. Whenever the Bible says, do you not know, or don't we know, ask yourself, do I know this? Verse 24 again, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The first section of verses, Paul is communicating his desire, his position. And now he's giving them an illustration, the Corinthians. Paul says, this is how I live. This is how I want to help people come to know Christ. He's not telling them that that's what they have to do, but he gives them this illustration in the second half of verses, and he says, you know how people run? All run, but only one gets the prize. Because in that, in Corinth, a very popular games was the Isthmian Games. And it's so very competitive. Sports were very big in Corinth. And so as Paul's saying, those who run, all run in a race. The Corinthians are picturing that. They're picturing watching people run. And Paul says, listen, all run, but only one gets the prize. Only number one that crosses the finish line is the one that says, there you go. Here's your reward. And Paul says, just like that, as believers, run your race so that you'll win. That should be the focus for all of us as believers here this morning. That guys, we only have a short period of time in this life to run our race. And we need to run it with all of our strength, all of our energy, saying, Holy Spirit, anoint my life that I, as I live, that you use me. Because I think there's some Christians that are just coasting through this life going, I can't wait to get to heaven. I don't want to cause any waves. I don't want to get anybody's business. Listen, those who die apart from Christ will be separated from God for all eternity. the blessings we have of eternity with God, for those that are apart from God, is eternity in hell. Eternal suffering. Guys, let God stamp that on our hearts and on our minds, that that person in your life that's rubbing you wrong or criticizing your faith, if they don't come to Christ, they're going to be eternally separated from God. Do you have that heart? Do you have that desire to want others to know your Savior Jesus? And if we don't want that for someone else, how important then is it for us? How much does it mean to us? If we know that we have life, that we have eternal life because of what Jesus did, why would we not want that for our neighbor? Why would we not want that for our coworkers, for anyone in our lives? I say we got to ask God to give us that heart. And that's why I love this area of text, as the Apostle Paul says, listen, this is what I do, this is how I live, because I want to win as many as I can to Christ. And if that's your heart as well, listen, we're all running a race. And here's the great news. In Christ, we all win if we don't give up. As long as we continue to pursue, as long as we continue to run, as long as we don't give up before the end. Paul says it in verse, where did it go? In verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself shall be disqualified. That word disqualified, if you want to circle it, it's not losing salvation. All run, right? But one gets the prize. Paul says, if I don't run, if I don't get across the finish line first, I don't get the prize. If I don't do it right, God's not going to give me the prize. And that means the reward that God will give to those who serve him faithfully. Do you know that as a believer, when we get to heaven, we're going to be rewarded for the things that we did here on earth? Rewarded. As long as we did it for the Lord. As long as our motives were right. God's not going to reward us for things that we're doing selfishly. There's a lot of people out there doing ministry or living the good life that are not going to be rewarded because they're doing it for selfish gain. And Paul says, I don't want to be disqualified. I want to run so that I cross that line. And the beautiful thing for believers is we all get to cross the line, and God will reward us for the things that we've done for him. This is not a discouragement for failure. We all fail. We all make mistakes. We all lose opportunities to minister to someone. But we've also all succeeded. We've also, every single one of us in here has ministered to someone in some way, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, who, there's always people that you will make a difference in their lives, and you will be rewarded for that. God, help us. Don't you want to get across the finish line? Don't you want to get to heaven and God say, I'm going to reward you? Paul says, those who run a race, they do it for an imperishable crown. That's what they get. In the Corinthian games, when they cross the finish line first, how long does that last? Imperishable. Hey, great, get to wear that around for a week or so, and then it dies. Our crown, guys, the crown that we are able to put jewels in because of the good works that we do. When we get into heaven, do you know what we do with our crowns? Give them right back to Jesus. You know why? We don't deserve it. God is the one that enables us to be witnesses in the world. Are you being a strong witness to your friends? Are you that Christian that, he lives on the edge, he does things a little differently than most Christians? Are you one of those Christians that judges others, puts other people down? You know, when I see the Apostle Paul say, you know what? I do whatever I can to make sure my ministry and my effectiveness in this world, I'm going to identify with everyone. We're living in days where nobody wants to identify with anyone. And you're going to be in trouble if you don't identify with what they believe. That's the world we live in. Self is on the throne. Self is the one at the center stage. That's not what people need to hear. They don't need to hear, hey, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be high and lifted up. You'll be worshiped. Now, what you need to know is you come to the Lord and Jesus will be on the throne of your heart and you'll see things differently. and behave differently in this world. One of my favorite verses in Hebrews. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Get the sin out of your life. Give it over to Jesus Christ. Let him forgive you. And he goes, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance wins the race. Turtle in the hare, right? That's the story. Endurance. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Is it hard? Yes, it is. Is it difficult to keep your witness all the time? Yes. Can you lose trust quickly? You sure can. But endurance wins the race. Endurance gets us to the end. I think about pastors, my own pastors that I came to know the Lord through, and them falling. I think about the effectiveness of their ministry. Thousands of people coming to the Lord. Thousands of things of ministry taking place, marriages restored, people's faith increased. Amazing things done in ministry. And then they do something so stupid that they disqualify themselves from the rewards of God. Are they saved? They trust in Jesus Christ? Absolutely, they'll get to heaven. But all the rewards are lost because they did not endure to the end. We can't get to heaven and say, well, remember 10, 20 years ago, all the things I did for you, Lord? God's like, no, I needed you to be faithful right to the end. And you know how we become faithful right to the end? Is encouraging each other. Don't give up. Keep on going. Don't look at your faults. The enemy wants you to focus on your failures and your sinfulness. You focus on the Spirit. You focus on the Lord. And you, if you haven't been effective, get effective. There's still time, my friends. There's still time. Paul says, I discipline my body and keep it in subjection. That word discipline means punches himself in the eye. That's literally what it is. He doesn't beat his body. He punches brutally because he knows the flesh always wants to rear its ugly face. Flesh always wants to get in there and disrupt us. Guys, sometimes we have to discipline our bodies, discipline our minds, discipline our hearts to keep on doing the things that God wants us to do. God always honors his word. I remember when our pastor first fell, broke my wife and I's heart. And she looked at me, she goes, how could God allow that? All those people coming to the Lord. How could God allow that person to be in that pulpit and to lead so many to Christ? My answer was simple. God honors his word. God honors your heart. Your relationship to heaven is through Jesus, not through a pastor, not through a church. It's with him and him alone. And God honors his word. If your heart is right, you can be in the midst of a cult. And if your heart is right, God sees the heart. Certainly he wants you to be in a place where you're being encouraged by the truth. But God honors his word above all things. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ with your life today? And if you can say absolutely yes, then guess what? Your future is bright. God is in control. Do you have a heart for the lost like the Apostle Paul? And are you living your life so that others witness it and want a part of what your Savior has done in your life? That's the life that we have. That's the opportunity we have. We are free to be servants. Nope, Jesus isn't going to force you. But man, it's going to be well worth it when we get there, guys. Do not grow weary while doing good, but be encouraged. God is with us. And as we enter into this time of communion, I want us to be reminded of these things that Paul said. I want us to be reminded that, am I being a good witness to my neighbor? Am I being a good friend? Am I a good husband, a wife, uncle, whatever it is? Those opportunities for us to show Christ, are we doing it? We have the freedom to serve Jesus, and we need to choose it. So I ask, are you living for the Lord? And is he using you? because he wants to use you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word this morning. How grateful we are, Lord Jesus, that we have an opportunity to participate in your heart's desire to win the lost. And even for a church like Corinth that was filled with corruption, filled with infighting, still the Apostle Paul had a heart to instruct them in the ways of the Lord, that they would honor you, God. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would fill each of us with the Holy Spirit, that our hearts would be sensitive to those around us, that we would truly have a heart for the lost and the hurting, the angry, and those that have different thoughts than we have, different beliefs than we have, because we were once like them at one point, but you saved us. Salvation is available to all that are willing to come. So I pray that you would use your church, God. Use your church in these last days. As we look for your return, as we long for the rapture of the church, where you're going to bring us home, we pray, God, that we would have your heart and that you would use us, Lord, as bold witnesses for the gospel. Give us a little bit of the Apostle Paul's heart. Make us more like you, Lord Jesus. Let us be encouraged in the days that we're living, when we see the signs, when we see your return approaching. May we realize we're running out of time. So help us keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith. We know you'll get us home safely. Bless my brothers and sisters here this morning. Bless your church, for it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.